Hi, I'm George Daly, pediatric neurosurgeon here at Johns Hopkins.
And I'm Elizabeth Tracy, and today we're going to be talking about Chiari malformation.
So what is a Chiari malformation? The easiest definition is when part of your brain, and in particular it's the cerebellum, the part in the back of the head near the neckline, slides outside of the brain cavity itself or the skull and slides down into the upper spine or the upper cervical cord. The cerebellum is responsible for coordination or fine-tuning of our motor skills. And it allows us to be coordinated, not clumsy. We could almost say that professional athletes must have a very well-developed cerebellum because they're very adept at playing sports. But when that part of the brain, the cerebellum, slides down, it's really a small part of it, the tonsils. If they slide down just 5 millimeters, which is a quarter of an inch, and then they put pressure on the brainstem, the upper spinal cord, and block the fluid that we all have in our brain, it causes problems. When I talk about Chiari malformations, I like to say it's the great imitator. And the reason for that is not every person has the same constellation of symptoms because it can imitate many other neurological diseases. Some people can present with just headaches. The typical headache is a headache in the back of the head, upper neck, that gets worse when they cough, when they strain, or when they exercise. And the reason for that is part of the brain has slid down, it's blocked the fluid pathways, and as they're straining, the fluid has to move through that direction, and it gets blocked, and it makes the headache worse. Some people actually, who have no history of snoring, when they become symptomatic from their Chiari malformation, they develop snoring problems at night, very loud snoring. They can develop apnea, breathing, where they have some pauses in their respiration, again, from the compression of this part of the brain that's on the brainstem itself.
This would be largely in adults who present with this, right?
Yes. We still don't have a true understanding of how Chiari's develop. You could be born with them, and you're not symptomatic until you become an adult in your early 30s, typically. You can present earlier, but that's the average age that most are diagnosed.
So how often do Chiari malformations occur?
We don't know. As I said, most of them are asymptomatic, and some of them are found on a routine screening study, either for a head injury or for other complaints, and the patient's diagnosed with a Chiari, but they're asymptomatic, so those don't need treatment. The number of people that have a Chiari, maybe 1 in 1,000. The number that need surgical intervention, and that's the only treatment for it, there's no medicine that's going to get rid of the Chiari, is much less than that.
So what do you do if the brain is slid down? I don't think you can really put some sutures through it and tack it up again.
If the patient's symptomatic, we just expand the skull. So all it involves is making a small incision in the back of the head, and that incision's about 3, maybe 4 inches. And then we drill off the bone around the foramen magnum. That's the bottom of the skull in the back. We're just drilling it off. We're only making the opening a little wider, about an inch and a half in each direction, and then taking off usually the first cervical vertebrae or the lamina in the back. And then once the bone's off, there's the dura, which is the covering of the brain. And some people stop there. They just take the bone off, which is causing the compression. It gives the cerebellum, the tonsils, room to float backwards and allow the compression on the brainstem and allow the cerebral spinal fluid pathways to recirculate themselves. Other people, and what we would do here, is we tend to open up the dura, which is that covering of the brain, and then we sew in a patch of a material to make it wider, and then that's it. We don't touch them. We typically don't cut them off or try to raise them back up in a normal position. We're just trying to give them more space so that the pressure is off of the brainstem and that the fluid is flowing naturally.
And does that result in an area of potential weakness for someone successively after the surgery is over?
That is always a complication of it. But the amount of bone that we're taking off of the atlas, which is the first cervical vertebrae, is very small. It measures about 1/2 inch. So we're only just taking the arch of it off, and we're trying to limit further removal because if we take off too much, they're going to become unstable. They're going to require a stabilization procedure, and that tends to be much more complicated than the cervical medullary decompression that we're doing.
Tell me about success stories. This works well in most people?
It works wonderfully. Are we going to get rid of all their symptoms? Probably not, but if the patient's correctly chosen, the success rate for headaches can be as high as 90%. For some of the other symptoms or complaints that they may have, such as numbness, tingling, some of the choking, or even blurred vision, they can reach close to 80% improvement. But a lot has to do with patient selection, making sure that they truly do have a Chiari and that the symptoms that they have are referable to the malformation itself. And the reason I say that is we have recently undertaken a study here at Hopkins looking at this, because we do a lot of the operations every week, monthly, and we want to know what is our success rate and can we make the operation safer and better for our patients. And what we found is that looking at the patients that we've operated on in the long term, down the road, maybe 3 or 5 years down the road on average, that majority of them do get better and very few of them need a second operation or other treatments for their symptoms.
How about a few numbers? The majority of them get better. How many get better?
I'd say close to 90% plus get better. There's a small percentage, 10% of the people do not get better. And we're further looking at this because in some of those patients, we did not open the dura. We just took the bone off to expand it. And what we found is when we do open the dura, they reach near 100%. When we don't open the dura, they're closer towards 80%, 85%. So why don't we open the dura for everybody? The risks are a little higher when you open the dura, and the biggest risk is infection. So if you open the dura and the patient develops an infection, that can lead to meningitis. If you don't open the dura and the patient has an infection, it's very unlikely to develop meningitis because the infection is going to be a superficial skin infection. And for that reason, it's easier not to open the dura, but we found that our success rate is better when we do open the dura.
So what's the long-term prognosis for these folks?
Excellent. If the surgeon selects a patient properly, the overall success rate is excellent. I just saw a young child who's not a child anymore. He's 22. I operated on him 3.5 years ago, and I didn't recognize him when he came back to my office yesterday. He lost 90 pounds in 3 years. And I asked him, how'd you lose 90 pounds? He said, you know, before the operation, I had problems. Every time I ate, I was choking. I couldn't exercise because I had headaches. Immediately after surgery, I started exercising, playing sports in school, and here I am today. Now, will every person do that? No. But that's where if you choose them, do the correct operation, you improve their symptoms, you improve their quality of life. They're able to do things that they weren't able to do before.
So it's critical to select your patient. What happens to those patients who may have Chiari malformations who are not good candidates for this?
Those patients probably don't have a Chiari malformation. They may have other neurological conditions. They're the ones that need to see other specialists and get a thorough investigation for other processes. They may even just have Lyme disease that is causing something similar to the Chiari with the headaches, or even some inflammatory disease such as multiple sclerosis.
So here's my last question, and that is, what causes a Chiari malformation?
They could be born with it. It could be genetic. It can be passed down in families, although very unlikely. We've seen it in siblings or a parent and a child. Other causes could be after lumbar punctures. And other people that have Chiari malformation are the children with spina bifida. They all have a Chiari malformation because they're born with their spinal cord exposed to the air.
So anything else you'd like to add about this topic?
It's a very simple diagnosis to make, but it requires getting an MRI scan. And once the diagnosis is made, it requires seeing a surgeon that has operated on a fair number of patients with Chiari to decide whether or not surgery will be of benefit for you.
Dr. Jallo, thank you very much.
Thank you, Elizabeth.